He crash-landed an aircraft into the sea off the Bahamas. BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now, our Friday drama is a hard-boiled Hollywood thriller about the Dirty Tricks campaign that nearly destroyed one of the greatest films of all time and its creator. The Kane Conspiracy by Jonathan Holloway stars Jeff Harding, Val Jabora and Toby Jones.
Is that Los Angeles Special Agent Ronald Brownstone Wood of the FBI?
Yes.
This is FBI Director Hoover speaking.
Okay. And can you prove that?
Don't be a chump, Wood. You know who I am, and that's that.
Yes, sir.
I'm telephoning from Los Angeles Airport. I've been on a mission to Mexico that doesn't exist. As a consequence, I'm not here.
What's the matter, sir? Are you okay?
I'm finishing a milkshake, Wood. Not that it's any of your business.
Sir.
Now, you're listening?
Sir.
You went quiet there.
I'm listening, sir.
What are you wearing, Wood?
Sir?
What are you wearing?
Button-down shirt, blue tie, dark blue slacks, black brogues.
Patent brogues?
Yes, sir.
Just some boots with heels. I want you taken for a fairy. How about your hair?
Crew cut, sir.
Fine. You're blonde. Fair, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Sir.
I have an important mission. I need someone I can trust. I've got the right man, haven't I?
Yes, sir.
All right. Get out here to the airport right away. Don't tell anyone where you're going.
No, sir.
I want you to get out here right away. Did I already say that?
Yes, sir.
Ugh, it's those wetbacks. They always put me in a spin.
Sir?
All right, just get here.
And what do you say to the accusation that you broke faith with your screenwriter, Herman Mankiewicz, when you took the script out of his hands and rewrote it yourself?
I didn't rewrite it. I simply reinterpreted some of it.
Mr. Mankiewicz's friends say you took his script and tore it up and started right over.
Not true. But let's assume for a moment I did as you say. Then I would be within my creative rights. A script is the blueprint for a movie drawn up in what is essentially a literary form. The story was our idea, together, and my job was to take the script and make a movie from it. Movies are an entirely different art form. And it is my responsibility to re-render this piece of literature into a living, breathing movie that audiences will relish.
This is your first movie, isn't it, Mr. Wells?
Yes.
And Mr. Mankiewicz is a screenwriter of considerable experience. Don't you think you might have been better off listening to what he had to say?
Have you seen Citizen Kane?
No.
No, of course you haven't. Well, when you do, I think there are a few things you ought to bear in mind. Movie making is an art form barely 30 years old. Some great movies have been made by some great directors, but some might argue that commercial imperatives have already caused calcification of the industry. Art has already been forgotten in many quarters in favor of the almighty dollar. The more advanced executives in this industry know what I'm talking about. Mr. Schaefer at RKO is an example. They know new blood must come along on a regular basis in order to reinvigorate their business.
And you think that's you, do you, Mr. Wells?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
At just 24 years of age?
Indeed. And in point of fact, it is my youth that is precisely the reason I'm the man for the job. I have already made a mark in this country and in Europe. I already have a string of successful theater productions behind me, and I practically invented modern radio drama single-handed. To be honest, the likes of Mr. Schaefer would be derelict in their duty to their industry if they weren't looking out for new blood precisely like me.
That's a big claim, Mr. Wells. Do you really think you can back it up?
Watch Citizen Kane, my friend. Then tell me if I'm wrong.
You look like crap.
Well, Mr. Schaefer, I actually feel great. I've been awake 48 hours straight, but I feel terrific.
Lightheaded, then. And you stink, too, Orson. What's so important that you couldn't take a shower before coming in to see me?
We have made a great movie, Mr. Schaefer. And the fact that its subject, the ridiculous oligarch, Mr. William Randolph Hearst, is upset enough to start making mischief just shows how great it is.
What kind of mischief?
I was just in Pittsburgh.
Not your kind of town, Orson?
I was giving a lecture there 2 nights ago. Then afterwards, I went out for supper with some people from the university. And when I went to the John, a police guy took me to one side to have a quiet word.
What'd he say? Get a bath.
Don't go back to your hotel. I said, why not? He said, I'm from police headquarters. I'm just giving you some advice. They've got a naked 14-year-old girl in the closet. And they've got 2 cameramen on the fire escape ready to take pictures. And a couple of cops down the end of the corridor. They're going to take you to jail, Mr. Wells. Don't go back to your hotel.
And this is what you're so pleased about?
I stayed up all night walking the streets. I couldn't believe it. We've actually got Hearst rattled. He must be insane to try something like that.
Insane, powerful, dangerous.
I thought you'd be pleased.
This is a game to you. It's my business. This is not good, Orson. There'll be worse to come.
I'm here on a matter of national security. Be under no illusion as to the vital nature of the task I'm going to give you.
I understand.
You must also understand that there is no room for failure here.
Yes, sir.
The people of America are depending on you.
Sir.
Okay, then. Mr. Orson Welles is a jumped-up child prodigy who's managed to hoodwink the Reds of the New York theater scene and inveigle his way into the households of America by way of the medium of radio broadcasting. He is at heart contemptuous of the American people and the American way of life. He has spent far too much of his short life abroad, where he's come under alien influences, so much so that the FBI... me, believes he is more alien than American. His radio production of the War of the Worlds frightened little children. Simple folks lost their minds. And along the way, he's also given heart to anti-American agitators through his waste of public money on New Deal-funded theater like his Nigger Shakespeare, which gave encouragement to those in the Negro community who'd like to see this country brought low. There are no Negroes in Shakespeare, dammit. Everyone knows that. And now we've got this movie to contend with.
Citizen Kane, sir.
Citizen Kane, what? Are we agreed this movie is an impudent attempt to discredit a great American?
Mr. William Randolph Hearst.
Mr. William Randolph Hearst.
A great American, sir.
Look here, what? Between you and me, I don't care for Mr. Hearst particularly. But he's the kind of newspaper man who can keep this country stable in a world gone mad, twisted out of shape by insane Europeans and lunatic Japanese. This country needs to stay out of this cockamamie war, and we need millions of folks to understand that. Besides, he's also a newspaper man with a warehouse full of uncomfortable truths about most everyone of any importance in the USA. And if he wants, he can start selling those secrets this afternoon.
Nothing less than the preservation of democracy, sir.
Anyhow, we're determined to bury this film. Since it opened, all the Reds in the newspapers and the magazines he doesn't own have come out saying the thing is terrific. Hearst's papers haven't printed a word about it. But we haven't been able to do much to slow the movie down. The liberals and the Jews got together and they've poured slops all over the good people of this country and fooled them into thinking this was some big deal about freedom of speech. I want you to come up with a clincher, Wood. I want you to find a way to kill this movie.
Yes, sir.
I'm told you're clever, although right now I don't see much evidence of it. But I'm gonna trust you.
Thank you, sir. I won't let you down.
Good evening, Mr. Wells.
Hello. Who is this?
Oh, you don't know me, Mr. Wells.
Okay. okay? If it's about work or an interview, please speak to my agent. If it's anything else, then go boil your head. I'm going to hang up now.
If you do, you'll never know who's going to blackjack your movie.
What?
Do I have your attention now?
Yes, I guess.
Mr. Wells, I work for the government, or maybe the government works for me.
Thank you for that information. Now, if you wouldn't mind...
I'm a great fan of Mr. Kafka. Are you?
Indeed. Now, I don't want to be rude.
I am also a student of Eastern philosophies. Does the sound come to the ear, or the ear go to the sound?
How interesting. Goodbye.
And a special agent for the FBI.
Oh.
Oh, indeed. Do you think we might be able to meet, Mr. Wells?
And what would we discuss?
The state of the civilized world, and in particular, the place of Mr. Wells in it.
Okay. Where?
How about the Russian Catholic Church off St. Michael and Mulberry Street? The confessional is a hand screen in the corner. We could sit behind it. Most of the congregation don't speak good English, so we won't be overheard. Shall I see you there at maybe 11 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Good morning, Mr. Wells.
Okay. Before we start, while this confessional situation might offer an amusing and serviceable subtext to our discussion, I want to assure you that I do not feel burdened with sin, nor am I seeking forgiveness.
You're all alone, Mr. Wells.
Yes?
It wasn't a question. You're on your own. You're a theoretical hero, not an actual one. People will sympathize with you for drawing down fire for Mr. Hurst, but they don't like you.
What makes you say that?
I listened to your Dracula on the radio, and it took so long before the story got started, I nearly turned it off. Orson Welles, the most important this and the most important that. The Mercury Theater of the Ear, all his own work, etc., etc. God help you, Mr. Wells. How do you expect to live up to a billing like that? And, assuming you did and you came good, why on earth would you expect anyone to actually like you?
I am wondering why I'm listening to you.
Your pride is backed up on you, Mr. Wells. Like it or not, it's a sin. And in the end, you won't get away with it. You need to surrender, Citizen Kane. Give it up.
That's absurd. The movie's terrific. The critics love it. Look here, if all this weirdness is supposed to intimidate me, then you're barking up the wrong tree, my friend.
Am I?
Yes, of course. You can go back to Mr. Hurst and tell him there are too many people on my side these days. The movie will soon make it out onto release, finally, and it'll wipe the slate at the Oscars. And it will be recognized as a landmark. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yes.
It isn't just Mr. Hurst you got to worry about.
What do you mean?
I do hear it's a great movie, Mr. Wells.
Some say that, yes.
Maybe even the greatest movie of all.
I wouldn't go that far.
Wouldn't you? Good. But modesty at this stage of the game don't count for crap.
What?
Kane. Crawling up and up on the bones and broken hearts of so many. That's good, don't you think?
Pity it's not in the movie.
Oh, I'm sure it is, if you listen hard enough. I'm sure that movie's plugged full of everything you can remember about yourself. I reckon it's all there, Mr. Wells.
You're very perceptive.
Oh, that's why I'm good at what I do. Mr. Wells... I met you here today to give you a chance to withdraw from the field of battle before you get slaughtered. Mr. Hurst is a serious man. He has serious friends.
Citizen Kane is a terrific movie. It is a serious contribution to the cinematic art. I expect it to win a lot of awards, and I won't withdraw it from distribution.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I guess there's nothing more to say right here, except you'll be hearing from us.
What's the big deal that it couldn't wait until tomorrow?
We need to talk, Mank.
I just about drunk myself to the point where I might actually get some sleep, and here you are waking me up, you son of a bitch.
Thanks for letting me in,
Mank. I ought not to. I know you're gonna upset me!
Oh, for God's sake, pipe down, will you?
And you, for God's sake, get out of here.
I came straight from the airport.
Sit down! You want a whiskey?
Please.
Don't think I'm gonna forget what you did.
I did what I had to.
I thought you were going to be an exception to the rule. If I was going to get shafted, then at least it would be a pleasant experience. Unlike the parking lot, face up against the wall with a slap and a kisser to shut you up. Kind of shafting writers usually get around here. I remember Hausman telling me how when you filled up the Federal Theater Project in Harlem with 127 Negroes, four of them tried to stab you outside the theater one night. They sure got your number.
You've still got a credit.
I don't want it!
You've got it whether you like it or not. Look, Mank, I'm not going to apologize. I took a script that was half brilliant and half lousy, and I turned it into a masterpiece. There's nothing I've done that I'm ashamed of, and I am definitely not going to start pretending I'm sorry for the sake of protecting your writer's bottomless sense of cosmic entitlement.
Rot in hell, Wells.
Listen, I didn't stop by tonight so we could go through this horse shit all over again.
So, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm concerned, Mank. Seriously. And so should you be. Hearst is going all out to nail us.
Big deal!
Well, this is for real, damn it. Schaefer has told me Hearst has had a council of war up there at San Simeon. He's set the dogs on us. I already nearly got framed by some gossip sheet. Well, I thought it was a joke. But Schaefer isn't laughing. And neither am I. I got a visit from an FBI guy warning me to withdraw the picture or take the consequences.
Whoa, what consequences?
People are being questioned and intimidated back in New York. People I worked with on Broadway who are communists. The real deal. Hearst isn't playing.
Well, there's nothing we can do. We just gotta give it time. Hearst is a clown.
With cash and influence.
But he's ridiculous. He can't tell a Van Gogh from a Van Cough, but he spends a fortune on pictures to match his decor. He's got a private zoo to keep his mistress amused. 35 years his junior. He was a joke already. We just made him funnier.
If, and I'm only saying if we went in too hard on some things, it isn't like he didn't deserve it.
You wrote the script.
Your cousin told you about Rosebud.
Who cares? It's too late. He's gone from newspaper magnate to newspaper clown. You'll see.
No, Mac. I'm not hanging around doing nothing. I'm fighting back, using un-Americanism against Hearst himself. Painting us as brave Americans, hitting out against a warmonger. I've made a public statement to the mayor of Los Angeles.
What'd you say?
Oh, a bunch of stuff about American liberty and how you and I made the movie to show off what a free society ought to be like. To praise America, not harm it.
I wish you hadn't. It'll make us look scared. Listen, the best thing is just ride out the storm. What has Schaefer said? Has RKO set a new release date for Kane?
No. He and I have agreed to make it look like we're fighting over it, so the other movie bosses don't cut him out of whatever they're cooking up. I'm going to pretend I want to raise money to buy the movie off RKO, then show it in a traveling tent, just like Kane would, if he existed. The papers will like that.
Well, we know Kane exists. About 50% of him is Hearst, and the other 50%, well, that's staring me right in the kisser.
Okay, Mac, you do what you do best. Sit there with a drink in your fist, dealing out sarcasm to strangers on the sidewalk, and leave the work to me. I'm going to win this one, Mac. But I'm giving you fair warning. You'd better strap yourself in for a bumpy ride.
Thank you.
Beam Mayor and the other bosses have got together, and they're offering us $1 million for the picture.
Why?
So we'll bury Citizen Kane. Pretend like it was never made.
What are you going to do, Mr. Schaefer?
Wait up, Orson. It doesn't end there. They want me to hand over the negative.
What?
Yep. They're going to burn it.
What did you say to them?
This is Hollywood, Orson. Sure, we make terrific movies. Sure, sometimes they come close to being art, even. But the dollar is the bottom line. If RKO is frozen out of the distribution networks and the cinema chains, then we might as well sell up.
So you're just gonna roll over?
Don't you dare talk to me like that, you goddamn hoodoo. I brought you to Hollywood, remember? I like what you do. You're a colorful kid. But you ain't half as clever as you like to think. Any schmuck who knows his cinema knows your deep focus, etc., etc., is a scramble of stuff that was already done in the silent days. Or just plain mistakes that got tidied up in editing by guys the public don't ever get to hear about. But I still believe that giving you that crazy contract was a good call.
And?
It's just a crying shame you kept us locked out of our own studios. So we couldn't tell you right up front what a damn mess you were cooking up for yourself and us by making a movie that humiliates the richest, nastiest newspaper snake in the world. Damn it, he's even threatened a campaign against the Jewish studio bosses. Claims he's got moral and financial dirt on everyone.
So, what will you do?
I got the board breathing down my neck. They're all coming to Los Angeles at the weekend so we can show them the movie.
Can I meet them? Will you let me speak to them? Gentlemen. It being nighttime in England, it is most likely that a small man from Germany is again bombing London. We know he's already kidnapped and tied to the railway line Poland, Belgium, Norway, and Denmark. Coming in here, the newspaper boy was shouting that he is in the process of invading Greece. Every time this madman takes over a new place, he squeezes everything brave, inventive, and enjoyable out of people's lives. He sews labels on the ones he particularly doesn't like and locks them in camps. To die! He takes away their ability to protest. But in America, we can still speak out. Why? Because last time I looked, we were still free. No one can tell an American what to say, who to say it to, how it should be said. Men, women, and children are dying in Europe. And whoever might try to say otherwise, Americans will soon be going over there, and they'll start dying too. All because of that little German fellow. I am asking you to send out a message to him, to Americans, and to the rest of the world. A message that says we won't just shut up. We will speak out. Mr. Hearst built an empire raised up on his make-believe journalism and his hatreds. And he has caused a mess of little wars in Central America that have left the world unchanged, except for the piles of bodies of men, women, and children he left behind. I have done nothing so substantial. I am a peddler of dreams, of make-believe, of camera angles. To my knowledge, no one has died because we made Citizen Kane. And I think it unlikely anyone will. Today, you have the chance to choose between different kinds of make-believe. The little Germans, Mr. Hearst's, or mine. Thank you for your time. Mr. Schaefer.
Ah, there you are. Well, Orson, apparently we're going to open on May 1st. You did it. That was an impressive speech. You were made for politics, although you're not clean enough for a career in that direction, sadly. But, listen, I think you have to be realistic. Wall Street made their choice an easy one. Hearst is going bankrupt. His days of influence are numbered outside of his circle of crazies.
Good speeches can change the world, Mr. Schaefer. I learned that from producing Julius Caesar.
Yeah, but I believed you. They believed you. That's what matters.
That's what matters.
We believed you because you meant it, right?
Bearing in mind Hollywood's bottom line, Mr. Schaefer, would you say it makes a difference either way?
Sir, I think I have come up with a way of nailing this movie Citizen Kane once and for all.
Well, I damn well hope so. Right now, things aren't looking good for us.
Soon after Christmas, the nominations will be announced for the Oscar ceremony, and it looks like Citizen Kane could win a whole heap of Academy Awards.
Oh, God in heaven.
I think I might have a way of preventing that happening.
Excellent. I need results on this one, Wood. We've got to make sure that film gets booed off the stage. Wood, I am personally authorizing you to use all the means at your disposal to make sure that movie doesn't win those statues. You know, we've got people in Wells' organization and inside RKO. Now, it's up to you. When I listen to that carnival of queers on the radio in February, I want to hear the sound of Citizen Kane sinking without trace.
Sir.
Like the bubbling of a man's milkshake.
We've got a new opening date, Mac.
Well done, Orson. Looks like you saved the day. Excuse me while I dry my tears. They're running down my leg.
I got word Kane could sweep the Oscars.
Who gets the screenplay credit?
You said you didn't want it.
Have you considered maybe? Maybe. You went too far. With the way you took Hearst's girlfriend apart.
Hold up. I needed a subject. It was you who'd had dealings with Hearst. It's your venom that got us here.
You made a clown out of her.
Hearst took Marion Davies and he turned her into a joke, not us.
You laid it on too thick.
Oh, really? Well, from where I stand, it looks like you made a fool of her before I did.
Great! You murdered my script and now it's my fault.
Well, maybe we got a little drunk on what we could do.
Mm-hmm. Rosebud?
Mm-hmm.
Old critics love the mystery of Rosebud. The sled from Kane's childhood. His last utterance. How long before they discover it's what Hearst called Marion's cooch?
Maybe tomorrow, maybe never. It was you got that sweet pea off your cousin. It was your idea.
Well, you should have talked me out of it.
Oh, one moment I'm a script killer, and next I'm guardian of probity against your scumbag jokes. Make up your mind, Mag. Ever since I got into this entertainment industry, every fight I've picked has done me good. I just wasn't expecting her
to... It's Hearst's life. He doesn't have family. Just her. And we pissed over them both.
I'm going to see Schaefer to talk about the next movie, The Ambersons.
So?
I wanted you to hear this face to face.
That you'll be doing the movie alone?
It's an adaptation, Mank. It's what I do best.
Do you seriously think Schaefer will let you make it?
Why wouldn't he?
It must be a wonderful thing living inside your head. Absolutely no notion of consequences. More scotch.
I'm afraid the news isn't good, Mr. Wells. Seems your refusal to surrender the movie and that of RKO bosses alongside you has provoked Mr. Hearst's fans. We're moving into a different territory now and no one's got a map.
What are we talking about?
You're going to get taken apart. You signed in blood on the best contract Hollywood ever gave out.
Oh, God, I'm not going to sit here and listen to your ramblings.
Everything is always about you. You jam-pack your place and your movies full of surprises and noise and things to take the audience's mind off the fact you are only interested in you.
I feel like I've missed something very important here. How have I ended up with an FBI man who talks like some kind of jazz poet?
I'm a farm kid from Arizona who went to state college and had the misfortune to meet an enthusiastic English teacher who brought me to a love of the written word. When I was old enough, I joined the Flagstaff Police Force, then went to the FBI because it was the only way I was ever going to see anything more than desert and rusty pickups. I'm not a robot, but I keep that hid. I ain't never gonna be a writer, and I ain't happy about it. So don't expect any quarter given from over here. Withdraw it from consideration for the Oscars. That's the only way you're going to avoid humiliation. I'm giving you one last chance here.
Don't be ridiculous.
You ain't any kind of hero. You dug holes in the floor and put your cameras in them, so when people look up at that movie, they don't see Charles Foster Kane. They see your brilliance. None of this persecution, as your friends call it, just happened to you. You made it happen yourself, and now it's going to kick the wind out of you.
I can't help you.
I got news for you. I saw your play about the devil. That moment when Mephistopheles looks at Faustus and you can see a shadow of compassion and sorrow across his features, and the words he says show he feels sorry for men who are flawed and can't help themselves. That ain't me. I'm just a devil who doesn't feel sorry for anyone.
I'm not going to give up the movie.
Why would you make such a sacrifice defending your movie when you don't even believe in it yourself?
I do believe in it.
Give it up before it drags you under.
Can we stop now?
If you say yes.
I'm not going to.
There's a great big hole in the middle of your movie.
Is there?
Yeah. Just like there's a great big hole in the middle of you. You can't feel sorry for Cain on account he's really you and there's nothing to either of you.
You're a very strange kind of FBI man.
How bad would it really be to admit you were wrong and kill the picture? When after all, you're sitting there with your most successful theater production running on Broadway just up the road from your hotel. And when you get the itch, you'd still be able to pick up the phone from Miss Dolores Del Rio to come around your place in 5 minutes flat, knocking on the door ready to scratch the itch. How bad can life get being you?
Trust me, it can get bad.
Listen here, Mr. Wells. You've been given a chance, and if you don't take it, then you're going to eat yourself up, Mr. Wells. And Mr. Hurst and Mr. Hoover will be standing by watching. I've been told to hurt you and your movie. I'd rather not, but there's no choice. It's got to be done.
I've been threatened by better than you.
No. I don't think so, Mr. Wells. You got a vocation. I can respect that. I got one, too. And right now, you're it.
Hold that elevator, please. Thank you. Which floor?
Lobby, please.
Oh, my heavens. It's you.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Hurst. Well, I don't know what to say.
Then don't say anything.
I'm very pleased to see you. I hoped we'd meet. Did you know I have a movie? It's called Citizen Kane. It opens here in San Francisco tonight. Will you come and see it?
Unlikely.
Well, I feel this is a special moment.
Which hopefully will soon be over.
We ought to market in some way.
If you mean making friends, then no. I would rather not.
I'm sorry you feel like that. Truthfully, I don't believe we can be friends. Although if you were to, moderate? Yes, that's the word. If you were to moderate your behavior, then maybe we could rub along like civilized men living in a democracy.
Hit the stop button.
Mr.
If you want to talk, hit the stop button. Now take us back up to the top floor. Here. Here's my key.
Is this a good idea?
You scared to share a drink?
No, not at all.
Whiskey?
Thanks. What about you?
I don't. As you've accurately recorded in your movie, Marion drinks plenty for both of us.
What?
What's the matter?
Well, I hadn't expected...
Honesty? That's because you've got too used to Hollywood, with its ocean of Jew money and sexual favors.
You're not going to shoot me, are you? In the movies, the murderer always comes clean right before he's going to kill his pursuer.
Is that how you see yourself, Mr. Wells?
I see that two great men such as ourselves came to loggerheads.
So you think you're a great man?
Yes, I do. With undiluted, unshakable conviction.
I would have let it go. I ought to have. I let the limey Huxley off the hook. His book was offensive. I could have gone after him.
I doubt it very much. I don't expect even your tentacles stretch as far as the United Kingdom.
Oh, don't you believe it.
So why did you come after my movie?
Because of Marion. She might have been a gold digger to begin with, and frankly, I wouldn't have cared if that's what she'd remained. But since things haven't been going so well, she sold all her jewelry and gave me the money. $1 million. And it's me living with her now, not the other way around. She loves me. Can you understand that?
I can understand it.
Your movie will still be there, long after we're gone, all of us. And the truth about us, her, well, people will believe your movie on account there's nothing to indicate otherwise. You got handed the keys of the kingdom at the age of 25. Now you're heading for oblivion because you were careless.
I'm not heading for any oblivion. What's the matter with you? Cain will make me famous forever. I'm not going to stand here and let you pontificate when your whole world is built on crap. Oh, you should have gone into movies. Why didn't you, as a matter of fact?
Because I knew you could crush a man with journalism. But I didn't know you could do that with a movie. I wanted to be an actor, you know. Until I caught sight of a small-town fly sheet my daddy owned by accident. And that's how I started with the Examiner. We went out and we made news. I got a woman to collapse in the street, and we watched to see how long it took for anyone to do anything. And then we wrote a front page about the callousness of the city authorities. I did the same again, getting a fella to jump off the ferry in San Francisco Bay, not 500 yards from here. There's no difference between what you do and what I do. We make stuff up, and then we sell it, and that's fine.
Don't you stand there lecturing me like I work for you. You didn't make your money, you inherited it. You couldn't have made a penny for yourself. And like most people born into wealth, the truth is, in another life you'd be a pathetic clerk toiling away in obscurity until you dropped dead at your desk. I made myself. I made me. I am my greatest creation. I was left behind by a feckless mother who just got bored with us and a pop who drank his retirement money and died leaving nothing. Citizen Kane is by no means made up. Have you seen it?
Huh. Well, you'll never know. You're supposed to be a genius, Mr. Wells. I'm a genius, too. In fact, my mother told me so when I was 6, on account of my love of European art.
My mother left when I was 6. She called me a genius, then she went. Silence.
I wanted to make newspapers for the common man. I'm more his friend than you are. You just want to be liked uptown.
You are a liar.
I've had my big eye on you, Mr. Wells. I could have you killed. Could have done it any time.
You wouldn't get away with it.
I started a goddamn war in Mexico to push up sales. Took a yacht down there and got myself some naval engagements. 3 times my papers suggested someone ought to shoot President McKinley. Then someone did. There's nothing I couldn't get away with.
You're angry because for the first time ever, the way you go about laying other people's lives bare has been used against you. So what did happen to being defender of the poor? I hear you've had the doors ripped off the lavatories in your offices so the staff will get back to their desks more quickly.
Whatever you like to think, you're not any kind of an artist. You look at your own and other people's lives and you wonder to yourself, how will this look in the retelling? And how will I look in telling it? Isn't that true? That's enough. Go away.
It's been a pleasure.
If you'd been my friend, you could have made movies for the rest of your days. But you made yourself my enemy.
Did you watch the movie?
Your ticket sales are already dropping off. And whatever praise your movie gets, it won't make any money. If you ever reveal this conversation happened, I shall have you killed. Remember, I started a war and got a president murdered, so keep your damn trap shut!
Listen to the Oscars, Mr. Hurst. I guarantee you won't like what you hear.
Good night, Mr. Wells.
Kane would have watched the movie, you know.
Just remember, you didn't see me, right?
Sir?
I'm not here.
I can't see you, sir. You're not here.
Excellent. I need to know how things went last night.
Weren't you listening, sir?
No, I damn well wasn't. Turns out a woman called Velvely Malvina Dickinson, who runs a doll shop on Madison Avenue, is some kind of a spy for the Japs. She uses code words about dolls to give the status of our cruises and the location of submarine nets in our ports. You'll understand if Mr. Wells and his movie took a temporary back seat to the important business of working out how we can get this woman in the electric chair. Okay, give it to me.
Well, it was exciting, I guess. There were 1,500 in the Biltmore. The entire cast of Kane was there, except for Wells.
Why wasn't he around?
He's shooting a propaganda film in Mexico. Anyway, Wendell Willkie got up first.
Should have been president.
Yeah, well, Wendell Willkie spoke about the need for more effort against the Japs in the Pacific. And then Bob Hope was supposed to introduce the wars, but they cut that on account of the war situation.
I guess that's something to thank the Japs for.
Smaller prizes went first. Kane was nominated for Best Art Direction on a black and white movie. It lost out to John Ford's How Green Was My Valley.
That's good. But how would you know the valley was green if the movie was black and white?
And there was an editing prize, for which Kane was nominated, and again he lost out. This time, to the Gary Cooper movie, Sergeant York.
He's an attractive man, wouldn't you say?
I suppose so, sir.
Wholesome?
Who is, sir?
Gary Cooper.
I guess. Then sound recording went to That Hamilton Woman.
Which Hamilton Woman?
No, that's the title. I believe it's a movie about the mistress of a famous British sea captain.
Oh, God damn it! Why can't they find an American subject?
Musical scoring went to The Devil and Daniel Webster.
Which, judging by the title, will be forgotten in 6 weeks' time.
And Kane just kept right on falling at the fences. Black and white cinematography, which everyone thought Greg Toland had in the bag on account of his so-called revolutionary photography, well, that went to How Green Was My Valley, too.
Where is this valley?
In Wales, sir.
And where is Wales?
It's in England, sir.
Oh, this fixation with limeys.
And then we got to the big prices, and it started to smell like Kane was going to come good after all.
Tell me, damn it.
Best original screenplay went jointly to Wells and Herman Mankiewicz, the drunk communist. The crowd, well, they liked that a lot. People were shouting for Mankiewicz. I saw the RKO guy, Schaefer.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw Schaefer sitting forward in his chair with his eyes wide open like a tassel swinger burlesque was gonna pop right out of a cake. Right in front of him.
I don't find that a tasteful reference, Wood.
No, sir. I apologize.
Don't embellish like that.
No, sir. Anyhow, it was Best Director, and John Ford got it for How Green Was My Valley.
Thank God.
And the humiliation continued. Best Actor, Orson Welles? Nope, Gary Cooper.
Well, I'm damned. And Best Picture?
How Green Was My Cotton-Picking Valley.
Well, I say again, thank God.
Seems like all those Jewish communists and queers had the sense to come good after all.
There's bad feeling. Betty Davis resigned the presidency of the Academy before the ceremony, and she's sounding off to anyone who'll listen.
A most unattractive woman. No one will take any notice.
And today's Variety is calling it the biggest upset in Academy history.
So what did you do? What was your big secret? How did you swing it?
The extras.
What extras?
The movie extras have a union with 6,000 locals in it. So I went to the bars to hang out in. I went to the meetings of the union committees. A lot of them are getting called up. Since the Japs bombed Pearl, there's a lot of feeling about Wells being let off serving. So I got in among them. I even got a walk-on role in Hope and Crosby's Road to Morocco.
Oh? What as?
As a Bedouin.
Carry on?
I lived and breathed extras for weeks, and I got them all fired up so they'd vote to take down Mr. Orson Welles.
But he's given them jobs.
They're ordinary Joes. He's a self-confident, womanizing kid with more money than they'll ever see. They just don't like him.
So, what do you think RKO will do with Welles now?
The first of his three movies already got flushed. Some tedious story about a man in the jungle.
Tarzan?
Not like that. Another limey.
God in heaven!
Officially, he's only got one more movie to go. But word is, contract or no contract, they won't let him alone to do it like they did with Kane.
Okay. Well, I spoke to Mr. Hearst, and we agreed the FBI and the Senate committees will keep up the pressure on Welles. We're going to use the whole thing about the war and the enemy within, his communistic behavior and associates. We got a list of them. Societies for feeding immigrants, educating pickaninnies, and getting criminals off the hook, and all kinds of other red stuff. And I reckon young Mr. Welles is going to turn out to have had his finest moment. But now the Oscars have gone our way, we won't make any more mention of Hearst. He wants to go under for a while. Discreet. Mr. Hearst is going to content himself with the little people. Mankiewicz and the actress who played Kane's wife and some of the others. And he'll just quietly take care of them. I think we've won, Wood. In fact, I'm sure we have. Give it a year, and by the time the next Oscar ceremony comes around, Citizen Kane will be over with, for good and always.
Hello.
I wondered how long it would be before I heard from you.
Well, here I am.
I'm honored.
I told you I'd get you.
And you did.
I warned you. Your movie's now going to have a career much like your own.
What?
Admired but never loved. And that's on account of that big fat hole I mentioned.
Please, no more. I think this relationship has been interesting, but I don't consider it particularly healthy and would like it to end now. I'd like you to leave.
That's fine. Just as you say. But you haven't asked me if I liked the movie.
Did you?
Yes. It's terrific. And I reckon it's going to be admired for centuries to come. And it'll be the best movie that never made a book. Do you want to know how it's all going to end?
What?
You.
Is this something to do with your studies in Eastern philosophy?
No. I just read the profiles of famous men. You'd be surprised to find out how many of them just give up, or fall out of fashion, or get dropped along the way. Molière gets buried in the corner of a graveyard rolled up in a carpet. Bach just stops one day in the middle of writing a fugue and never scribbles another note. Shakespeare goes gaga on account his daughter marries a waster.
Go ahead, then.
Everyone in the industry knows you're poison now, Mr. Wells.
No, maybe I don't need this. Couldn't you just go away?
The devil can't just go away, even if you wanted to, once those 24 years are up.
But you're not the devil, and you are capable of pity.
I was born poor. And the thing I was taught was to stick to the rules, because without them, society, people just come apart. I have to do what's needed, because in the end, without that, we are lost souls floating around in the L.A. smog.
You're very young to be so...
complete?
You're frightening. There's something that comes off you.
I am fully formed. I do not know doubt, Mr. Wells.
Are we about the same age?
Oh, I'm 30 and I keep in condition. I reckon I look younger than you.
You're like something straight out of a comic book.
Oh, I am. And I've got my painful backstory, just like any good comic book character should have.
I assume I am quite an important case.
You got the renown, and I'll only ever be a footnote. Maybe not even that. Maybe my name will crop up somewhere on the records, but otherwise nobody will be able to find out jack about me.
You're not ambitious, then. Tell me the backstory. I'm intrigued. You said you'd majored in literature.
Oh, there's a lot more. Usual Oedipus stuff. The story department must have thought me up on a Friday afternoon. I put my own daddy away after he killed my mom. He was the first guy to die in the gas chamber in California when we made the switch from hanging. That's how I made special agent.
God.
Feeling outclassed.
So, what comes next?
For you?
Yes.
Well, I can take a guess, Mr. Wells, if you'd like.
Why not?
Okay, then. You're going to die alone, Mr. Wells. You'll be what? Around 70 years of age, I guess, because you're not healthy, but you're pampered. So, yeah, 70 is about right. And you'll weigh, let's say, 300 pounds. Maybe that's overdoing it. But you're gonna get fat on account you already eat and drink too much. And in a while, that's about all you'll have to keep yourself occupied. Cain will always have stood as the best thing you did. At 26 years of age, your career was already over. You'll make a laughing stock of yourself, making movies no one wants to see, and hiring yourself out in Europe, most likely, where hardly anyone lives and no one knows how to make a picture anyhow. Nobody will offer you a decent job for the rest of your days. You've only got one big movie left in you.
Go on.
The night you die, you'll be totally on your own. Your servant, who you probably won't have paid for a while, and who'll be looking after you out of pity, will find you the next day slumped back in a chair, your head fixed at a crazy angle, and maybe your balls sagging out from under a bathrobe the size of a circus tent.
If you're trying to scare me, I think you're starting to get the hang of it.
And you'll have ruined other lives along the way.
Who?
Mankiewicz. He's dead in the water now. From here on, his drinking will turn to drowning. Already has. I'd be surprised if he makes another 10 years. You don't seem to have much to say, Mr. Wells.
I feel sick. Please go. Now.
If things had just been a little bit different, I would have enjoyed being your friend.
Great.
Mr. Wells, nothing in this world is perfect. The Muslims know that, I believe. Their carpets always have to have a little something wrong with them, otherwise it would be an insult to Allah. American society is that way, too. It can be a cruel and crooked place, but it's the best on offer. That is its truth. That is its nature. And every day we have to prevent ourselves digging that bit too deep into things. We gotta look the other way, otherwise it will all fall down. And then where would we be? Moscow. That's your answer, Mr. Wells. Moscow. Oh, and one more prediction. The only Oscar you did win, the shared Oscar for original screenplay? Well, when you're down on your luck, I wouldn't mind betting you consider putting it up for auction. But I'd think twice about that. There's always a chance nobody will want to buy on account it's jinxed. That statue might even become your own personal rosebud, Mr. Wells. Good night, and goodbye.
In The Kane Conspiracy by Jonathan Holloway, Orson Welles was played by Jeff Harding, Agent Wood by Val Jabara, and J. Edgar Hoover by Toby Jones. Herman Mankiewicz was played by John Guarasio, George Schaefer by Garrick Hagen, and William Randolph Hearst by Peter Marenker. The radio interviewer was Paul Mundell. The Kane Conspiracy was produced in Bristol by Sarah Davis.
In an hour, Baroness Shirley Williams will talk about her mother, Vera Brittain, who bore witness to the toll of the First World War. Vera's life was shaped by grief, and Shirley Williams will explain that as a result, her mother became a passionately committed pacifist. Matthew Paris will hear her story in Great Lives at 11 o'clock. For now, just before the world tonight, here's the weekend weather. Tomorrow will start fine, if cold and frosty in most areas, but cloudy for a time in the southeast. And then most areas will have a sunny but chilly day. Northern Ireland will become progressively cloudier, with rain in the afternoon. Dry and bright for most on Sunday, if rather cold. Western areas will be cloudy with rain, with some of the rain turning to snow. On 92 to 95 FM, 198 Longwave, and on digital radio. This is BBC Radio 4.